performance, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world.
Command Performance.
Presented this week and every week, till it's over, over there. From over here to over there, it's Command Performance USA, filling entertainment orders for you soldiers, sailors, and Marines in the North Atlantic, the Caribbean, the Far East, or wherever you may be. This is your show, buddy. For this second worldwide broadcast of Command Performance, many of you have placed orders for Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians. Well, they're here along with other famous stars of American stage, screen, and radio named in your letters. So tell them about it, and here's the man to do it, Fred Waring.
Hello, you guys. This is Fred Waring messing around on the stage at the Vanderbilt Theater on 48th Street near Broadway in New York City. Our first command tonight comes in from Sailor J.B., and a San Antonio lad, now holding down a gunner's job somewhere on the high seas. I was ambling down Broadway one day last fall, he writes, and caught the big Broadway hit, Best Foot Forward. There was a terrific song in it, Buckle Down, Win Sake. How about playing it on Command Performance? Here it is, Sailor. Buckle down, wind sake. Go, Polly.
Oh, wind sake.
Second Lieutenant K.P. Now, how can a K.P. be a Second Louis? Well, anyway, Lieutenant K.P., U.S. Army Air Corps, has this to say. Dear Command Performance, I've really been places the past couple months, and I don't mean nightclubs. But you know, I'd sure like to put my heels up on a swanky table at the Copacabana and let funny man Joe E. Lewis give me a load of belly laughs. He's a riot, but I got work to do here. So can command performance sub for me at the Copacabana? You bet we can, Lieutenant. Here he is, the king of the nightclubs in person, Joe E. Lewis.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's so nice being here, even though I have been convinced, as you boys are, that money isn't everything. And money doesn't mean everything. I read an old Spanish philosopher, namely Leo de Rocha. And at one time he said, a man who has $9 million is just as happy as a man with only $10 million. But nevertheless, I have a little song that I'd like to do. A little song called Sam the Tailor. Union. That's as far as I go, madam. And don't worry about the suspenders, they're strong. These suspenders keep an attraction from becoming a sensation. Sam the Tailor. We dedicate the song to Sam the Tailor, who made this suit for me for $140. With 8 pair of slacks and a stretch sheet I got. Or a racing form, whatever it was. I was drinking that night. Sam the Tailor. I happened to do this song on my last picture. And incidentally, it was my last picture. And a very lovely picture got 3 stars. 2 deputies and a sheriff come in. I made 2 pictures that season. The first picture grossed $400. Second picture was a flop, admit it. Sam the Tailor. Sam the Tailor. Trousers dragging, slowly dragging down the street. As I'm walking, you can hardly see my feet. I'm not finding fault at all. You're too big and I'm too small. But Sam, you promised you'd make both ends meet. You made the coat and vest fit the best. You made my lining strong. But Sam made the pants too long. With a nice lapel, oh, so swell. Who am I to say you're wrong? Say me in the pants too long. I wear a belt and suspenders. I say that, why should I lose? Why should your belt or suspenders? When your pants hangs over your shoes, I get the darnest breeze through my DVDs. My tie is where my fly belongs. Oh, Sam, you made the pants too long. Thank
you, Joe E. Lewis. Command performance fills the next order for one of our fighting Marines, initials R.L., who writes, we've had spring so darn long down here, it's hard to believe that up there the big league ball players are just getting warmed up for the 1942 pennant races. What's the dope around the bullpen? Are the Dodgers as good as their rooters? Any transfusions of new blood for the Giants? Give us a pitch, will you, especially on the National League. This order goes to one of America's ace sports commentators, Paul Douglas.
Well, thank you, Fred. It's always a pleasure to talk baseball with a good ball fan, and I've got one that's really a good one here now. Now, you know, let's do a little imagining. If we were up at the Polo Grounds and you heard a fervent feminine voice crying out with great emotion...
Come on!
whispered to you, believe it or not, that's Tallulah Bankhead. Would you be surprised? Well, don't be, because she's here right now, and I want to present one of the best baseball fans in the country, Miss Tallulah Bankhead.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for introducing me as a ball fan, because that's the way I feel. I want to talk as one fan to another. To you boys listening in out there, wherever you are, you're the greatest team in the world. This is the final game in a different kind of World Series. And you're going to win. We're going to win. I say we because you're our team. And believe me, we're rooting for you and working for you.
Well, Tallulah, you're speaking for me, for every fan, for every ball player in the nation. Now, if you don't mind, may I ask you a few questions?
Did you promise not to throw any curves or fast ones?
Well, with my arm, you can see the stitches on them as they come up. Well, now, as a ball fan, tell me, what are your feelings toward Major League Baseball at the present time?
I believe that today, more than ever before, baseball is the great American game. As you know, President Roosevelt has asked that more night games be scheduled to provide recreation for those working long hours in the war industry. Baseball is one of the symbols of our democratic heritage. And it should remain as such. You know yourself, Paul, it's the only game where the fan makes every play, throws every pitch, calls every decision. You become completely a part of the game. And we need that for the morale of the country. After all, Paul, can you imagine second-guessing an umpire in Gestapo land?
It's a pretty horrible thought, Tallulah. By the way, you have a wonderful running knowledge of the jargon of the game. How long have you been interested in Major League Ball?
Shame on you for such a short memory. Why, you took me to see my first game at the Polo Ground.
Oh, forgive me. I'm blushing.
I blush, too, sometimes for my John. But not this year.
Wait a minute. Just a second. Is that a statement for the press? My Giant?
I bet every man listening in has his favorite team. The Red Sox, the Cards, the Cubs, and the White Sox. Cincinnati, the A's, the Tigers, the Browns, the Phillies, and the Braves. And the Brooklyn Dodgers. Oh, by the way, how do they look?
Well, in some respects, they look just like last August.
No, you mean burned out.
I don't mean that at all. They've already beaten the Giants twice in exhibition games.
Well, the chips aren't down yet. But what I really want to say is that every one of us has our teams. And we should stick by them no matter what place they're in now. After all, it's the finish that counts.
Oh, that's so true, Tallulah. And now to go back for just a moment. We were blushing a second ago. You said something about your Giants and not this year. Would I take that for a prediction or just what?
I'm optimistic about a lot of things. But I'd like to broadcast the news that Mel Ott has been made manager of the New York Giants. It's possible that some of the men overseas haven't heard the news. But when this season is over and my Giants have won the pennant, they will, won't they?
Personally, I like Cardinals this year.
Oh, well, let's not get personal.
Thank you.
From what I gather in the Grapefruit League, a good many of the old-timers are coming back to replace the men who've already gone to the armed forces. But you've talked a lot to the players, Paul. Just how do they feel?
Well, Tallulah, the ball players, practically to a man, express one opinion. They know they have a job that's expected of them, a job they've been asked to do. The country needs baseball, and they'll play their best. But by the same token, there's not one of them, when Uncle Sam calls, that won't drop his bat and shoulder a gun.
That's American baseball. That's why it's such a great game. It's the men who play it. And before I leave, I want to say this to you fellas in our Army and Navy and Marine Corps. On December the 7th, the enemy stole a base. It wasn't a fair play. But God umpires this game. And he'll call that play in due time. Meanwhile, boys, you keep on pitching. Strike them out. Cut them down 1, 2, 3. We're backing you at home plate. We can only give you the good old assist. But that's half of the put out. And we've all gone to bat for you. In the steel mills and the coal pits, along the semi-lines and our professions and our homes. You're our team. And we love you, and we depend upon you, and we swear by you. You simply have to win. You know, fellas, there's a pennant that's been flying around here since 1776. Keep it flying.
For
thank you.
you, Tallulah Bankhead and Paul Douglas. Yours truly and the Pennsylvanians want to say thanks to Lieutenant Commander G.F., who sends us an order fresh off a U.S. destroyer putting in full-time on U-boat business. If command performance ever puts Fred Waring on, he writes, our boys want him to do that famous push-button tuning. Well, haven't we got a swell Navy? Thanks, men, and here it is, push-button tuning. Push button tuning is a novelty which is based on the amazing sequence of amusing bits made possible by a push button radio. The idea is to tune back and forth inadvertently among several stations, and strange things do happen. And here is an example of what might happen among four programs, one of which is dramatic, two are songs, and the other truth and consequence quiz program. The sound you hear now is the sound of the button. When you hear that, we've changed stations. Here we go.
In tonight's presentation of Grand Plays, we bring you excerpts of scenes from Shakespeare. We begin with Act Two of the tragedy of Romeo and Juliet. The scene, Capulet's Orchard.
Oh, speak again, bright angel, for thou art as glorious to this sight as is the winged messenger from heaven.
My ears have not yet drunk 100 words, yet I know the sound. Art thou Romeo? Who art thou?
Hey, romantic guy, your romantic eye, my wayward bring heaven nigh. So why don't you try?
I am trying, but would you please repeat that question?
Why, certainly, Miss Helwig. Oh, no coaching, please. Now, the question I ask you is,
when will I see your face? Why do you just elude me and leave me this lonely space? Oh, into eternity, your love will beckon me. I can't forget your voice that calls.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. But if thou wilt not,
then you'll have to take the consequences. You answered that question incorrectly, madam. So now you must pretend that you have just stepped out of a cold shower, you have soap in your eyes, and you can't find the towel. All right, now go ahead. Come on, be a good sport now. Come on. Now, look, just imagine yourself in this predicament. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you dry yourself?
High on a windy hill, I feel my heart stand still. Oh, I can hear you calling my name.
What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Well, how about a skunk?
Oh, no, no. No, I'm sorry, sir. We cannot accept that answer as right. It's true that a skunk is often called a polecat, but it is not a member of the cat family. Now, can anyone tell us where Mr. Skunk really belongs?
High on a windy hill.
This is Danny Clay again. You have just been listening to the voice of Tim Tyler. And now we bring you our little songstress, wee Bainey Barker. And I wish you could see her as she steps up here to the microphone
with a mouth full of crackers. And at the same time, sing Chattanooga Choo Choo. All right, sir, you ready? All right, here are your crackers. Now take a big mouthful of them and then give us a good hot chorus of the Chattanooga Choo Choo. Well, there go the crackers, folks. Here they go, and here comes the song. That's pretty good, but eat the rest of the crackers while you're here. Now let's have the second chorus. Brother, you're certainly trying hard enough, but be careful. Don't choke.
Don't choke. Change to Chesterfield. They satisfy.
Button, 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 button on the radio.
Here's an order scribbled on the wrapping from a pack of American-made cigarettes smoked in North Ireland. When I was a yard bird at Camp Callan, California, it says, Hollywood threw a big show for us one night, and the big kick for me was Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou. You guys on command performance claim you'll get us anything we want, so how about a repeat from Tommy Riggs? Signed, Corporal J.C. You're the law around here, Corporal, and here's the answer to your request. Two of radio's favorite artists. That is, our ears tell us there are two, even though my eyes see only one. Here they are, Tommy Riggs and his imaginary little bundle of mischief, Betty Lou. Tommy Riggs.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Betty Lou, we're mighty happy to be here tonight to do our bit for the boys, aren't we?
Oh, yes, I'm mighty happy to be here because I almost didn't get here, too.
Yes, I know, young lady. As a matter of fact, you kept me waiting for a half an hour.
Well, I wouldn't have been late, Mr. Tommy, except my mommy took me way downtown to buy me some nice new panties.
Well, Betty Lou, that's no reason to keep me waiting for a half an hour. Now, what do you think the most of, me or the new panties?
Well, Mr. Tommy, I can go a lot of places without you.
I see.
Well, Tommy, I see Betty Lou finally got here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Waring. I'm sorry I was late, but Mr. Tommy is late sometimes, too.
He is?
Yes. It's always on account of that darned old girlfriend of his, too.
Oh, is Mr. Tommy in love?
Oh, he's in love with all the girls. Mr. Waring, what's a wolf?
Betty Lou, please.
Well, are you in love with that girl?
Of course not. She's just an infatuation.
Well, how do you know when you are in love?
Well, honey, when you feel like your heart wants to jump out of your body and something in your throat seems to jump up and down. Do you know what that is?
Yes, hiccups.
Well, never mind. But, young lady, when you fall in love, you won't be able to sleep. You won't be able to eat.
Well, if I ever should get married and leave you, you won't be able to eat either.
But, Betty Lou, you wouldn't desert me, would you?
Oh, but speaking of dessert, Mr. Waring invited us over to his house tonight for a chicken dinner.
A chicken dinner? Well, that's ducky.
No, it's chicken.
Well, I hope I get there before Fred Waring sits down to eat. He certainly finished off that last chicken dinner.
Oh, Mr. Waring loves chickens. Any kind.
Well, anyway, when he got through with that last chicken, there was nothing left but the skeleton.
Well, what's a skeleton?
Well, that's the bone structure of the body. All animals and humans have a skeleton.
Well, have you got one?
Why, certainly, you have one, too. Remember that bony thing in the doctor's office?
That was his wife.
No, no, dear, the other one. After all, Betty Lou, we're just a bunch of bones with padding on us.
We are?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Waring certainly has a lot of padding on...
Never mind. Mr. Waring is a fine man. I used to play golf with him.
Well, Mr. Waring said he was on a tee once when a woman was trying to drive and she hit him with a golf club.
She did? What'd she hit him?
Well, Mr. Waring said she was like all woman, a backseat driver.
Well, Betty Lou, I think you'd better run along. I'll see you at Mr. Waring's house for dinner.
Well, I may not see you there, Mr. Tommy.
Well, why not?
Because I don't like chicken.
No?
No.
Well, why not?
Well, I always get the wishbone.
The wishbone? Well, that's lucky.
Did you say lucky?
Of course it's lucky.
Well, the chicken had it, but it didn't do him any good.
Well, I'd better tell Mr. Waring about this. Oh, Fred.
Yes, Tommy.
Betty Lou tells me she doesn't like chicken. By the way, did you catch any fish when you were down in Florida?
Did I? I caught an 1,800-pound tuna.
How much, Mr. Waring?
1,800 pounds. I never saw such a fish in my life.
I believe you.
Betty Lou, is that polite?
I said I believe him. But you know what I caught once, Mr. Waring?
What?
Well, I was fishing one time, and I finally got something on my line, and I pulled for about 20 minutes. When I finally got out of the water, it was a darned old lantern.
Well, that's nothing unusual.
But this one was lit.
Betty Lou, please.
Well, the lantern was lit when I fished it out.
You don't expect me to believe that, Betty Lou, but I did catch an 1,800-pound tuna.
Well, Mr. Waring, if you'll drop 500 pounds off your tuna, I'll blow out my lantern. So there it is.
Thank you, Tommy Riggs. And now, fellas, we happen to know a soldier on the Bataan Peninsula. We happen to know, too, that he got married a few years ago and that he and his wife had a favorite song. It was played at the wedding. He didn't ask us to play it here, but maybe he's listening and would like to hear it again, and maybe you would, too. We sing Stardust.
Oh,
Sort of brings another command performance up close to the finish line. This is Fred Waring saying thanks from over here, hoping you liked it, over there.
Uncle Sam's fighting soldiers, his fighting sailors, and fighting Marines, Command Performance is your show. And wherever you may be, look for it each week. For Command Performance reaches every corner of the world. American radio, stage, and screen stars are taking their orders from you. They're yours to command. Simply address your letters to Command Performance, USA, care of the station to which you are listening. I'll repeat that. Just write your letters to Command Performance, USA, in care of the station to which you are listening. And the best entertainers in America will send their best to the best fighting men on earth. So long, buddy, from the USA.